Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Kenneth Mokgatle is a seasoned political analyst. He's a commentator, and he's joining us to unpack the latest cabinet reshuffle, specifically the appointment of Buti Manamela as South Africa's new Minister of Higher Education. That's following the dismissal of Minister Nkabane. The move has raised eyebrows. Is it sudden, or were we just simply not paying attention? Kenneth, good morning. Hoping that you are well. Did this come suddenly, or was I just not looking?
Good morning, Howard, and to the Morning Mayhem listeners. I think this was long overdue, mm-hmm. if you can look at the sequence of events, because this woman, the former minister, have been giving them a run around in the Parliament's Portfolio Committee on Higher Education. Some describe her as arrogant, but what I know is that she, on multiple occasions, has misled the parliament. Firstly, by the appointment, the irregular appointment of the CETA board, where couple of or all of the appointees there were coming from the ANC, related to the ANC. By one way or the other, you even had the child or the son of the minister, Gwede Mantashe. There, you also had the former premier of KwaZulu-Natal, who was yesterday appointed as the deputy minister. That is to show that Cyril Ramaphosa does not really give regard or does not care about the feelings of South Africans, because if he took corruption serious, as they said they did in 2017, I don't think he was going to appoint Dr. Nomusa Dube, the former Premier of KZN, who was also included in that irregular list. And the question that still arises is whether Nobutle Nkabane is going to remain as the Member of Parliament, as we have seen with Senzo Mkuni. What kind of parliament are we going to have in South Africa?
Is this perhaps pressure as a result of the police minister situation, the holding up of the mirror because of the firing of the deputy minister as part of the DA? Is this performative, or is this real? In other words, I somehow get the sense that Ramaphosa might be removing the easy ones to remove, but not the difficult challenges.
No, I don't think that it's real. I think it's performative, because if it was real, he could have dealt with corruption that have been happening within the ANC immediately after the handing over of the Zondo Commission of Inquiry outcomes, but until today he have not dealt with the outcomes of that commission, which includes people who are on his camp in the ANC. I'm talking about Gwede Mantashe, Nomvula Mokonyane, Zizi Kotwa, and many others who are on his side, whom he did not even do anything. Senzo Mkunu recently has not done anything about him, because they are on his side. But those who are on the opposing side, he's able to deal with them. It was difficult to deal with Nkabane, because she comes from KZN, and that's where the ANC is lacking support. That is why it took him some time for him to deal with the issue of Nkabane, and it was because of the public pressure that came with it. That is why I'm saying that I don't think they are going to remove her from parliament, because he has compromised there. He has only removed him from the cabinet, and he will make sure that he leaves her with some form of income stream on her side. They are not going to deal with her. And then on the issues of her misleading the parliament, what is the ethics committee going to do about it? Are they going to just leave it be, or are they going to deal with the issues? Because if the minister or the deployee has misled the parliament, I don't think that they should be given an opportunity to serve the public, as they have betrayed the same trust of the public. So I think the whole thing is just performative. Even yesterday, we saw that he also dealt with the issue that he was supposed to deal with some 2 years ago. Shamila Batoi, the head
yes,
of the
I was NPU, going to. That was going to be my next question, because this is all seeming to be happening now. The prosecutor that you, why now?
Yeah, I think it's just to shift, to deflect the attention from the issue of Senzo Mkunu, because he has not addressed the questions which were addressed by the questions which were raised by the KZN commissioner of the SAPS until to date. We are yet to see the commission of inquiry that we don't even have a trust. We are not sure if it is going to be different from all previous commission of inquiries, because all of them have not yielded any tangible results. So we are not sure how this is going to be different from those ones. He is supposed to deal with Senzo Mkunu. So he's deflecting our attention by dealing with issues that he was long supposed to be dealing with.
Do you expect any further reshuffles?
I don't think there are other people that he is going to reshuffle at the moment. He will wait for the public pressure again if there's another minister who does not do things they are expected to do. So he's vulnerable at the moment, and I don't think he's going to reshuffle any other person. We've also seen that in the Northwest, he has instituted some investigations for the SIU to investigate the one particular tender. So I'm quite sure that he's dealing with the opponent faction within the ANC by doing so, because everything that comes from him is never genuine. He has never done anything to deal with the corruption, as he had promised in 2017 that he was going to deal with the state capture. He was going to deal with the cross mismanagement in the state, but he has not dealt with those issues. The municipalities around the country are collapsing in his watch, and he has not done anything to try and resurrect those municipalities to be able to perform their constitutional mandate.
When he was elected to the position, there was a concern that he wasn't strong enough, and that if he did anything too drastic, he would lose his power base and potentially position. That now is not the case. So what would be the reason that he is so reluctant, slow, or obstructive when it comes to dealing with corruption?
This is a very compromised and vulnerable man, especially since the case of Palapala. So he's hanging by the thread, because anything could happen, and he knows it. This is a man who is going to be like Jacob Zuma, who is going to face criminal cases after his tenure. But for now, he just wants to make sure that even after the ANC conference in 2027, he's able to be left alone to complete his term, which it will be historic, because he will be the first ANC to be the ANC president who finishes his term as the head of state. So that's his immediate goal for now. So he does not want to tamper with the situation in the ANC. He wants to make sure that he hold on to to the support, but there's no support at the current moment, because remember the traditions of the ANC. They are supposed to have the NGC, the National General Council, before the conference, which is supposed to be sometime this year or early next year. And he's going to make sure that, just like during COVID, they are not going to have the NGC, because the NGC have got potential to remove him. Just like as we have seen in 2005, when they returned Jacob Zuma following his dismissal by President Thabo Mbeki. He knows he does not have support in the branches. That is why he does not want to convene such meetings. And he wants to make sure that he's keeping the ANC a bit intact, to make sure that he completes his second term.
Absolutely. Kenneth Mokgatle, thank you as always for your time and insight. Political theater in South Africa never disappoints. It's we're going to be watching this very, very closely. Thanks again for joining us. 061-895-1019. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.